If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Everyone deserves a chance in the driver's seat. For GM and Revolt, that means leading the way on the road to an all-electric future and envisioning a world with zero crashes, zero tailpipe emissions, and zero congestion. GM's committed to making EVs accessible for everybody. That means you too. So what are you waiting for? GM's got the keys. You grab the wheel. Learn more about an all-electric future and the 000 initiative at GM.com. GM, everybody in.
Not paying for the seat don't owe you a thing.
The high cost of being flued out. What's he expecting with that plane ticket purchase? Are you willing to give him some first class ass?
If you want to give up the coochie, you can give it up.
So when shit go down, you're supposed to have my back.
Then, what to do about your best friend's beef? Is her enemy automatically your enemy?
But I'ma get right to the subject. Ain't gonna beat around the bush. Chance it is if you say you from the A, right?
And always repping Atlanta, my homegirl, Amaretta the Great, is in the house.
Yeah, they see it.
She's talking hip-hop's female takeover and writing her own rhymes.
It's a song that I made in the studio when I was, like, drunk with my friend.
Plus, the single girl's guide to cohabitating.
It's like you're my man and my roommate.
What you should require before you move in together.
You're just calling me Film Daddy the whole time.
I could call him Film Daddy, too, right?
We've got the perfect leading men lineup with Idris Elba, John Ellie, and the one and only Jamie Foxx.
Wow!
All this and more right now on Black Girl Stuff.
Welcome to Black Girl Stuff. From Amaretta the Great to Jamie the Foxx and Idris the... Damn, he's married. Elba, we got a lot of ground to cover. And right now, it's time to go in the comments and up in the air for this discussion, the high cost of being a fly girl. Ooh. This is what's up. If you get flued out by a man, does that mean you're obligated to have sex with him? Let's see this one post that has everybody going off, y'all.
We done went on dates, and I paid for the seat, don't owe you a thing.
Spend $680 on a round trip flight. She gets to your house, you got one pillow and no shower gel. Who doing the half in this house?
Hello?
I never even mentioned having the sex with you, talking about why did you come here? Why did you bring her?
Yes,
that's what I'm talking about.
So, Tori, tell us what's taking off in these comments. They got everybody, you know, real heated.
One of these comments said, the math ain't mathing. I don't care if you fly me to the moon. If I don't want to give you no kitty, you're not getting it.
Ooh, yeah, I agree.
Okay. You're not getting it.
So let's get into it. If a man flies you out, are you necessarily agreeing to have sex with him?
What are we talking about right now? I mean, if you fly me out, you're trying to meet me and understand who I am.
Yes.
If things get a little adult-like, they do. But you're not obligated to give up the... Nanny, right?
That's exactly it. I feel like this is courting in general. If a man takes you to dinner in a movie, he's still gonna expect some sort of ass, and you don't have to do that. I feel like the same as with you being flued out. But I think you just have to put yourself in a position where you're not gonna be like dodging advances all night.
We ain't trying to be looking all night.
Do you feel like it's something you're supposed to talk about before you go? Like, should you get on the phone and be like, hey, what we doing when we get there?
I feel like, one, a lot of relationships now do pop off in a DM. So we might never have hung out before. We've been talking on the phone, maybe texting, getting to know each other. So the fly out is probably our first time kicking it. Yeah. And if it is, then, like you said, I will definitely let a man know up front in the conversation, like, hey, I know this is our first time kicking it, we not there in a relationship, or even if he live here in Atlanta and we've been dating, I'll let you know, look, just because we going here don't mean I'm obligated to get there. Now, if you really like me, you still gonna buy the ticket because you like me and want to spend time.
But what about this, though? Because this is what happens to me, right? So, I've been flued out before. Yeah. Somebody I was interested in meeting, right? And I told them beforehand, I said, you know, I'm not promising you anything, all right? You know, I'm just letting you know that. But here's what guys hear, okay? They're like, yeah, I'm gonna try when she get here, though, and
for
see what
sure.
I can get,
I need
right?
The separate
and they
room.
Press it, and then it's like you're almost like trying to be, you know, pressure me into doing it. I'm like, bro, you know, I catch this. You know, I'll leave right now.
Demetri, you took that point. Yeah. I have to agree. Like, I think that every guy's still gonna try it. Yeah. Like, they gonna feel like today might be my lucky day. You know what I mean? So he gonna still try you. But at the end of the day, I think in my experience, if you stand on what you said, they will respect you more because they like, oh, she said it and she meant it. She put her foot down.
Well, I feel like some guys do and some guys don't. But the thing is this. I feel like as long as you can afford to take yourself back home and don't be at the mercy of some dude you met on the internet.
No,
you know
sure.
what I mean? Be smart about it so you don't get stranded at the airport.
That's good advice, but I'm saying, like, what is it about being flued out that brings up all these red bells to say, I even need to talk about the fact that I'm not gonna have sex with you? I feel like that's not a conversation you need to have.
No, you do.
No, you don't.
You gotta think about it from a guy point of view. He's like, I'm paying for this good time. In his head, he's thinking, I want the ultimate experience. And if you wanna give it to him, that's all fine and dandy.
Yeah.
But you gotta let him know, hey, I feel like you should talk about it because some dudes.
You don't have to talk about it. I feel like I really see it as a date. When we do a date, I'm not saying, hey, you took me to Red Lobster, that means you're gonna get these biscuits. It's really like, no, I mean, this was another situation where I'm meeting, we're not even gonna talk about it. I feel like, just have that little carrot, have it dangling. Don't tell him the surprise, the happy ending before you even start.
But I wanna ask you ladies the question, does the destination change whether you should do it or not?
Well, you don't have to be flying to his home, Bree. First of all,
different hotel
rooms. You can fly me to my personal hotel room, get me my personal driving service. I mean, there are a lot of ways around this, but I think the most important thing is to, first of all, communicate. But when you get in that situation, passions get intense, but that's where sexual coercion can happen a little bit too. And there's some women who, have felt so uncomfortable and pressured that they do end up giving sex that they didn't really want to. And that's a real, real thing, especially among younger women.
How do you get to even the flued out part?
Is it just because you said hello? I just feel like this.
The reason I'm asking before you answer is because I feel like, do you kind of have to be a little sexual anyway?
Are you trying to say I'm a freak? What are you saying?
Like, girl. You're going to say it depending on
what you're talking about.
You're going to say it.
You don't have to be sexual to get fluid out. Maybe you just want to see me. That's the only way that you can see me.
Okay, Demetria, but I think this person in the comments disagrees because they said, I'm going to have to disagree, big dog. Yes. I guess you the big dog in this situation. Okay. We all grown. If a dude is flying you out, we all know what's up. So
he sounds like that's broke behavior. You're just expecting something from a woman that you're not guaranteed to get. A woman can say no at any point in time.
Right.
She can say yes before she leaves, see you, and see how you act, and then that's enough.
But at least if you say it up front, you can say, hey, I told you before I got here, I wasn't giving up nothing.
But if you want to give up the coochie, you can give it up. Do what you want to do.
Right. Live your life. And we're going to be switching gears, okay? From expectations to healthy communication. Yeah. Let's check out this scene from Issa Rae's latest series, Rap Shit, where characters Mia and Shauna's friendship is tested.
Breathe, please.
For real? When you ask me to go to New York, I go. No questions asked. So when shit go down, you're supposed to have my back.
I have your back. We are the worker man. It's people watching us.
All you care about is work.
Woo! Okay, ladies, so let's get real about friend code, okay? Ride or die-ness and beef by association. If your best friend is beefing with someone, should you automatically be beefing with that person too?
Okay, so let me tell you, one of the comments said, if my BFF tells me that she doesn't like you, then that's it.
I feel like we're co-hosts, we're friends, but we're a group. So if we go to the club and we out and somebody run up on y'all, I'm running up too, because we came together, right?
They rolled up on us at that point.
We rolled
up.
So they tried us. But I do think that there are limits to things. Like, in real life, I might not automatically adopt your beef, even though you my friend. Because what if you crazy Keisha that always say something crazy?
But I feel like it's your friend, most of the times you're friends with people you have similar core values with.
Yeah.
So whatever you probably mad at, I'm going to be mad at, too. So, yes, now, if it affects our money, I'm going to talk with you and try to talk you out of it. But if you rolling down, I'm definitely riding with you.
I mean, I think in things in general, it doesn't have to happen to you personally. So we say in friends, but I feel like this is just life messaging.
Yeah.
Like, something doesn't have to happen to you personally for you to feel affected by it, for you to be like, nah, I got this message. This girl ain't the one to be friends with. So beef, if you beefing with my friend, especially my best friend, you beefing with me because,
for
like you said, we have the same sort of vibe.
Yeah.
Like, we are one.
Well, this is an example of me. Like, I was working, at a TV station, and I had a friend who liked to be friends with everybody, right?
Mm.
You know, and it was kind of rough because there were people who didn't, care for me. I felt maybe even be trying to sabotage me a little bit like this. And they would confide in her. And this is my friend, I'm thinking. So you've got these people who don't like me trusting you enough, my friend, to talk about me. And sometimes she wouldn't tell me everything. So I'm like, how could you possibly be my friend and the friend of these you know, associate. I don't want to say enemies because it ain't that deep, but it's just like these people who don't, you know, value me, care about me in any way. And so that's what brought our friendship, you know, to the forefront. I mean, come on, you're not looking out for my best interest,
no,
right?
No, yeah, I agree with that. It's showing your true colors. I feel like, you know, you don't have to all out block someone because they're not friends with you or because they have beef with your friend. But if you go out of your way to form a deeper relationship with someone that you have problems with, I'm like, nah, you're blocked.
I think that's key. I think it's the level of the relationship. Mm-hmm. So me, y'all know I'm super friendly. I'm bubbly. I'm gonna be nice and speak and cordial to everybody. Yes. Now, even if you beef with somebody and you're my best friend, I might not necessarily be beefed out with that person, but I will set boundaries.
You know, speaking of that, let's go into the comments again.
Yeah.
Where this user commented saying, it depends on the term of which they don't like the person. And this is what we were getting at. Sometimes people will have a petty-ass reason for not liking someone. Why ruin connections and possible networking for BS? Yeah. And so really it comes down to, I mean, are you more loyal to your friends or are you more loyal to the bag?
So I'm never going to ask my friends to be more loyal to me than the money. I feel like I've actually been in a situation like that where my homegirl has a successful meal prep company and one of her clients who's really big and known actually stole intellectual property from me. She came to me as a friend first and was like, hey, how do you feel about me using this person as my client? I said, get your bag, Sydney. Right. I don't care because it's at the end of the day, it's business. And I would never want anybody, I would never block anybody else's blessings when it came to the money either.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And you gotta know your friends.
We're talking about the beef, but not the resolution. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people, when they have friends and they have beef with your friends, they're ready to tell you all the gossip when they're in it. But I had a situation where I had a friend and they were beefing, so we were both beefing. And then they never told me when they made up. And so I'm the one now on the outskirts.
I'm a traditional Aries in this sense. And either you riding with me or you dying and you're dead to me. That's how I feel.
Okay.
So the thing is this. I've been in that situation where my friend had multiple friends, but I'm like, girl, you better choose up. Like, what are we talking about right now? Like, you know what I mean? And I don't have tolerance for that. You can do whatever you want to do. But trust me, the day that you choose somebody else over me, and I'm not talking about a dude, because we got to get to that.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, you know, another woman or whatever, and you want to play that up, then go and leave, because I don't need you.
Like, we're all in the same scenario. We're all in the same
friend group. I wouldn't consider that beef, though.
No. Yeah.
It's not beef. It's not beef.
That's an argument.
Akilah.
That's
an argument.
I mean, right. Demetria, you do something to Akilah, or Akilah does something to you. Mm-hmm. I'm not obligated to pick sides just because I was on the auditions with you first, beforehand. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. I get to choose to stay neutral.
But that's your choice, as it is Demetria's choice. And it could be my choice to cut you off because you didn't. I'm sorry, Akilah, you didn't choose up. I'm sorry.
Ain't never up.
We could go all day long about sisterhood. But coming up next, Kennedy is back with the Chronicles. And this time, she's tracking Jamie Foxx, John Ellie, and Idris Elba. And they're all straight ahead. Don't go nowhere.
I've never seen anything like this. Multiple attacks without eating its prey.
Lions don't do that. At least no lion I've ever seen.
Go back to the calls.
Dracula, please!
Welcome back to Black Girl Stuff. That was 2018's Sexiest Man Alive, now in beast mode. And our very own Kennedy Rue is here with all the deets about his new film, Beast, and more. Kennedy, what's good?
Hey, ladies. Okay, so I'm back with more manliness. We have Idris Elba talking all things family. Then John Ellie is addressing mental health with his new TV series. And Jamie Foxx gets personal about his past. But first, let's check out the man, the myth, the legend, Idris Elba.
Please.
It's interesting as a father bringing a piece of yourself into your films, you know, because you have to sort of dig, you know, into places that are personal to you to make them adaptable for film. But working with Ayana, who played my daughter in the end, and Leah, we basically bonded on the set and off the set. You know, we were shooting in South Africa and it was in the middle of nowhere. So we had a lot of time to bond. Their parents, you know, were there, but you know, they spent a lot of time with me. So it was great. I'm a naturally doting dad. You know, I love my children. I'm a big hugger, big kisser. He makes sure they're okay. I did a lot of that, especially with Leah, because she's so young and she was calling me film daddy the whole time because her real daddy was there.
I could call him film daddy too, oh, right?
Only Idris Elba could make me want to go on a safari destination from hell.
Yes.
That was scary. That was a lion? That's the beast?
Yes, that is the beast. You have to see the movie, but that is the beast.
And it looks like a great movie to take the whole family to see as well.
Yes. Well, we know that Will Packer was a producer on the film, and he was actually doing some interviews with Idris Elba where he talked about the fact that his daughter auditioned for the film.
Oh, wow.
But she didn't end up getting the role. They said that the chemistry between them wasn't right for film.
I don't like that. I don't like that because I think as a community, we like to say, oh my gosh, you know, we really want nepotism and we want the idea, the opportunity to kind of bring our kids up with us. This was his opportunity to do that. I'm kind of curious why that didn't happen.
Well, actually, Akilah, I like that. I feel like as an actress, it's not easy. It's very hard. If no one's just going to give you these opportunities, you got to be trained, ready, and equipped. So I like it. Correct that.
That's an amazing role to be a part of, too. I mean, because if you think about Will Packer and his productions, I mean, he puts a spotlight on strong black females, right? Yes. And so you see that. You see that in Girls Trip. I mean, you see that with the works he's done with Taraji. I mean, he's amazing. And so I love that Idris, when he was talking about the girls that he's working with on set and how they call him that and just how they've been uplifted. So I got to give a shout out to Will Packer for that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, representation is so important to the both of them. And I feel like this film was a cornerstone in telling black girls' stories, especially from the point of black girlhood, where that's something that, you know, we don't really get to see as much representation of in film. So to have eyes on that experience and to have the relationship between a father and daughter, I think is so crucial and necessary for us to see. This movie is definitely a must-see. It will have you all on the edge of your seats. But speaking of family, I was able to sit down with the legendary Jamie Foxx. This was a full circle moment for me. Jamie was one of my first red carpet interviews when I was a child.
Coming out the gate.
There were tons of laughs, and no one can do an impersonation of my dad quite like Jamie. My very first red carpet.
Wow!
I was about 5 or 6. You saw me immediately and came right over to me. It meant the world to me that you came up immediately, and I felt like you saw it in me before I even saw it in myself.
Your father is one of the most funny individuals
I've
ever been around. Sully's one of the guys.
We over here looking at trinkets while she's over there looking at ass.
And his jumper's wet, too.
Yeah. Why did he say that? You know my dad so well.
Tell him that my jumper's still wet.
Yeah, that's wrong, man.
How did you guys prepare to tackle that genre?
I watched as many as I could just to kind of, you know, each one has its own mythology and its own rules, and it's just kind of fascinating to see what some people do, and then just having all of that knowledge and being like, all right, how do we attack ours?
What do you remember about the first time you guys really started working together where you felt that chemistry?
We did this table read, and I pushed for him. I was like, yo, I don't want to do the movie unless I get a date break. And when we did the Zoom, you know how tough Zooms can be. People's microphones is off, people lose their place and stuff like that. This dude murders the Zoom.
This movie is all-encompassing. I was able to see the film in Miami, and it has a little bit of everything. Some action, some adventures, some romance, some vampires. Yeah. And Jamie actually told me that he'd been following Dave Franco's career for a really long time and always wanted to work with him.
Wow.
He ended up saying that he fought for him to be in the film and even went as far as to say, I won't do the film without Dave Franco.
Wow. So that's how you put it.
Last but not least, my in-depth conversation with actor John Ellie was very enlightening. We discussed his latest TV series, Send Help. Let's take a look.
You always tell me to do better. I think it's time for you to take your own advice.
I'm trying, bro.
Says who?
I've watched the first episode. I feel like it does a really good job of painting the perspective of an immigrant son's experience. I feel like in television, in film, and in the history of media, that's been a narrative that's been overlooked.
It's a great way to like show that we're not all monolithic, you know what I'm saying? Because usually they're like, oh, there's a black guy story, but there's a specificity in being a first-gen Haitian American that you're not necessarily getting in anywhere else.
I'm so excited for Send Help because I feel like I see so many people I know in your character, and I love that there's that relatability aspect to it. Also, what's so important that the series touches on is mental health. Black men are committing suicide at much higher rates. Why talk about this in the way that you do on the show?
I've recently experienced two friends who have done it. I used to like keep a lot of things to myself, but now that I have like a support system and a new fiance that I'm able to like express these things to and speak to my friends and really open up to certain people about what I'm dealing with, even the pressures, the stress, you don't necessarily need to suffer in silence. Also, I want them to enjoy themselves, get in the messiness of dating and relationships, learn something about the Haitian culture that they may not have known before.
I can relate to John so much, not only on him being a first generation Caribbean, you know, American with his family is from Haiti, my family's from Jamaica, but also the fact that he really talked about there's so many nuances to being Black, so many nuances to being a Black man. I know he talked about in person how he's dealing with mental health and how he talks about it in his support system, but how much does he really dive deep into that in the series?
So the series goes really in depth in all of those things.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's such a great story when it comes to the Black man's experience, but also that immigrant son's experience as well. Because that's such a component that we don't necessarily see highlighted in media.
And I love that. And I was gonna say too, like him speaking so much about the support system, I think that's important. Like you said, just anybody in life in general, but especially us in the entertainment industry, we gotta find that amongst each other. We don't have to suffer in silence, like he said in the show.
Great stuff as always. And coming up next, y'all, is the Atlanta Queen MC herself, Amaretta the Great, is stepping into the BGS house. Keep it right here.
From the side and you don't know the face, you're chilling, repeat after me.
It's not Atlanta.
It's not Atlanta.
It's not Atlanta.
No, Clay Cole, it's not Atlanta.
Like, I need my map out.
It's not Atlanta.
Gwinnett, it's not Atlanta. You from the suburbs, not from the city. You from my big house, not from the trenches. I just enforce them, I don't make the rules. Say you from my hood, but you must be confused. Color Park is not Atlanta. Latonia is not Atlanta. Clay Cole is not Atlanta. Decatur is not Atlanta.
Oh,
she's committed.
Listen, welcome back to Black Girl Stuff. Sorry, not sorry. That's not Atlanta. That's not the ATL's goal, but we actually have the real ATL goal here. Our one and only Amaretta the Great. Welcome to the BGS house. Speaking about Atlanta, the real Atlanta, like you're so protective about protecting Atlanta. Like, why are you, why do you feel like that about the real Atlanta?
It's probably got a lot to do with the fact that I was like, I was actually raised there, so when you like from a place and you had to like go through so much stuff there and have to overcome so much, it's like that becomes like your home, and like naturally you be like territorial about like where you where you from. So like, anybody try to come in your place, you're gonna be like, hold up, who is like, it's like it's you trespassing, it's an intruder. So
speaking of your home, like, how do you classify like where somebody from? Is it where you went to school at? Is it where you lived at the most, or where your first house was? How you know where you from? Cause see, I moved. I lived on the east side, then I lived on the west side.
Like, but okay, you know? See, when it comes to stuff like that, it's really about. That's kind of tricky.
Okay.
Break it down. You got people that like move to Atlanta and they think that they from Atlanta because they moved there.
Yeah.
But I feel like you gotta be there since you like 4, 5.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But like 9, 10, 12, like nah, because that's when you start jumping out the porch. That's when you start making friends. Yeah. So you made friends over here. Then you came over here and made friends. Like that don't count.
Right.
I mean, your song has over 4 million streams.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, this is a huge hit. But what was it like for you when all of these classic ATL legends came out and said, "Hold up, hold up."
Yes. Right.
I'm from Atlanta.
I love that.
It was funny because I thought that was like. At first, I thought it was coming at me, so it was funny. And I'm like, I'm gone. But then, but then I was like, okay, still showing respect. Yeah. So I just like, whatever.
And speaking of respect, like Lotto jumped on the remix with you. Like, how did that feel to have two up and coming Atlanta artists that are killing it in the game right now?
Like, it was hard. Like, when I reached out to her, I was like, at first, I wasn't expecting her to like immediately like go ahead and say it, but as soon as I text her, she was like, yeah, send me the verse. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh yeah, wow. It's gonna be lit. Like,
I feel like women are really dominating, especially in the artistry business. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like women are coming together to make it to the top, or do you feel like it's an individual thing because they're more based on like titles and who's the queen of this and that?
I mean, I feel like at first it was a thing where like everybody was competing, but that was only because society was only accepting one female artist at a time. But now it's like so many people can like thrive in their own lane. So everybody's just like, okay, we're going to work together then and like come up together like how the guys do. So and now it's more of everybody just like sitting together because you realize that we get more done when we connect and it's
together,
like beefing.
To be honest, when we think about like women and sisterhood, I feel like we are expected to be together and be on that kumbaya stuff. But I feel like men don't get the same questions and, or get the same expectation to be a brotherhood. Like, do you feel...
Because it's just natural for them. Like,
it's natural?
It like, it's just natural. Like, but even with guys, like, because girls, we kind of more catty. But guys, they kind of, like, do it under the surface. Like, they'll not like somebody and still, what's up, bro? Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Well,
like,
we were just talking about Lotto, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so back in March, I mean, she came out and said that, you know, in exchange for a verse, a popular male artist wanted sex. And so we talk about sisterhood sticking together. I mean, what's it like for you navigating this industry where that happens a lot?
I had an experience like that a couple years ago. And when she put that out, I'm like, that's crazy that it's happening to her and she a way bigger artist. But they do that because it's like guys, they think that because like they have a higher status that we need them. So they're like, hey, I'm going to give you something. You're going to give me something. Like, bro, I don't need you. I'm going to go this way. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Do you feel like you've had a lot of other male artists in the industry like pull you up like a little sis?
No. I mean, it's been a couple people like Lucci, Donald, like Trouble.
Lucci definitely stopped you earlier. Speaking of going back to women in the industry right now, as a female artist, do you feel pressured to like rap about certain subject matters? You know, in this climate, you know, we got coochie rap and all types of stuff.
I feel like it was a time where it was like heavily like promoted, but I feel like now, it's like people starting to get tired of that, and they just
giving us something different.
It's like people with like more substance is starting to get more praise now, cause everybody like, bro, what else? Like, okay, we know y'all got some good shit.
That's
like,
But I literally love. I feel like that's what makes you different. You give us that hardcore, that aggressive. I mean, it's probably New York energy. I know I'm not from Atlanta, but I love that hardcore vibe. Is that what you think makes you different?
I'm just raw and real. Like, a lot of people like the fact, like, when I was first coming up, I used to, like, every time I used to rap, I wasn't scared to, like, put my feelings out there. Like, you know how some people, like, they always try to act too hard or too tough. Like, I was the type of person that, like, if somebody played me, I'd get on the track and be like, I just got played, but I ain't gonna get played again.
Okay.
You be spitting in your freestyle, too.
Okay, so do you freestyle or do you write? Or
I write. The reason I don't freestyle because I don't practice freestyle. And I feel like if I practice, I know how to do it because practice makes perfect.
Because the boys go in there and they be like,
And they
put words to it after.
Is that, but no, I do that. Hum it and then go back and put the words in. You gotta get the melody right.
No, but you be killing it, and especially your fashions too. Like, y'all been following her. I've been following her for a while, so sis do her own hair, makeup, and be making her own clothes. Did you make anything today? You be having them fit. I see fashion designer in
it. No, but that's your at your level. I mean, you're taking it on. I mean, you were telling us you put the bundles in, girl.
Yeah, I did. I just, I don't know, like, I feel like every time I go out and let people, like, do my stuff, like, it don't never be exactly what I want because I'm real picky and I have, like, a vision. So I'll be like, if I know how to do something, I'm going to just go ahead and do it myself.
Right, right. Okay, Amaretta, and don't be shy. You got a new single out. Baba, tell us all about it.
It's a song that I made in the studio when I was, like, drunk with my friend. In the studio.
Okay,
bye. Yeah, we piped up. It's just a lit song. Like, after I recorded it, everybody was like, that's the one right there. So, it's lit. The video going to be coming out soon, so.
But the song is out now on all streaming platforms.
It's out everywhere.
Okay, and then what other projects you got coming up in the future?
I got an EP on the way. I got a lot of songs I'm gonna be dropping like in the meantime as well too, just to have most of But I don't got no date for the EP yet, but it's coming.
Okay, we definitely gonna be on the lookout for that, y'all. Make sure you check out her single Baba and check out the EP on all streaming platforms. platforms as soon as it comes out. Amaretta the Great, thank you so much for stopping by. And coming up next, a whole other kind of housing crisis.
Okay, now we want to know, should you let a dude move into your crib? We've got the ultimate. Okay, we know. We got the ultimate cost-benefit analysis. The star of OWN's Ladies Who List breaks down the pros and the cons of shacking up. That's when we return.
Push it on you, Papa. One wrong move, that Papa. Made it, bullet go fa-fa. Rock that baby, go-ga.
So as you know, I already told you about me and my ex. We're looking for homes. Mm-hmm. And the day after, I broke up with him.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want a huge house by myself.
This is perfect because you're always on the go too, and you don't need something that is gonna require a lot of maintenance. Like yard work.
Who cut the grass?
Who's doing it?
I thought he was gonna do that.
Take out the trash. Welcome back to Black Girl Stuff. Now, as we see, there's a thin line between love and real estate.
Okay.
And we would like to have both ladies. And just to figure out that very tricky equation, we've got Kira Oliver from OWN's Ladies Who List in the BGS house.
Yay.
Welcome, Kira.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
So clearly, we just saw a clip of you and B. Simone. And what I found most interesting, besides the fact that you're just doing your thing in real estate, is that she was talking about shacking up and really being with a man who she thought she was gonna build this home life with. And that didn't work out. Is that really common in a lot of your clients that you take on lately, especially Black women?
So I will say that I deal with both scenarios. Mm. People who wanna purchase a home together and they're not necessarily married, and people who don't wanna purchase a home because they're not married. And I can speak from personal experience. I bought 4 properties with someone that I was not married to. And my logic there is, just like you get married, you can get divorced and you have an asset. And I started purchasing real estate when I was young. It's the easiest way to gain wealth. Like, that's how I became a millionaire so fast, was through real estate.
Yeah.
And if you're dating someone, I tell everyone, you have to go into business with someone that you can trust. Like,
right.
My ex-boyfriend, I trust him with everything in me. You know, our house burned down, and wow, we worked together through everything to make sure that, oh, there it is.
I know. I remember that moment.
Yes. So, you know, we're able to work through things together. Mm-hmm. But I tell everybody, if you don't own real estate, whether you're in a relationship or not, you should be purchasing it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would tell people.
Speaking of the relationship aspect of owning real estate, so when I bought my first home, I went and you know, getting ready for my housewarming, the girl who did my makeup mm-hmm. told me, she was like, I'm going to give you one piece of advice. Don't move nobody into your house, okay, especially a man, okay, right? And I totally didn't listen. My bad, Joy. I didn't listen. But, you know, it caused a lot of issues in our relationships on the emotional side. But talk about what that may look like on the legal side of things. Like, when you break up with somebody and having to move them out of your house, like, how does that work?
Okay, so key word is legal. So anytime you're purchasing anything, you have to make sure that the proper...
What's up, everyone? It's Boss Britt.
And it's DJ Excel.
If you're a fan of the queer culture and lifestyle, then be sure to check out and subscribe to the No Homo Show.
We're a show that shares true stories that are uncut, funny, relatable, and of course, gay from a lesbian's perspective.
That's right. Brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network.
Measures are in place. Like, you want to make sure before you go sign anything that you and Joe know, Joe, if we break up, this is how we're gonna go down. We're gonna split it 50-50 or we're gonna split it 60-40, because anything dealing with legal, if something goes wrong, you gotta take it to court. What's gonna hold up in court? Anything in writing. So before you go purchase a property, everything needs to be established. So if you're purchasing it with your boyfriend just as two individuals, or if you're purchasing it as an LLC or a trust combined, you need to make sure that you have everything in writing, so that way if you do break up, or if the house burns down, or if there's a time where one person wants to sell it and the other one doesn't, everything is in writing. So you can say, we agreed to this up front before we even got ourselves into this equation.
Well, let's take on this scenario, okay?
So, I gotta feel all right,
yeah,
juicy.
Bear with me.
Yes.
Okay, one of my friends is an architect, right?
And
he's in a relationship, not married, with a young woman. She's a PR specialist, yeah? Mm. So he has his place, but he told me that if she ever moved in with him, that she would have to pay half the rent. Mm. What's your take? I know my stance on it, but I said we have to get personal on this one, okay? Because this is a real situation for a lot of people.
That's true.
Doesn't it sound stingy? Like, for me, I would be like, you know what? That's my ice cream. Don't touch it. What, you want to be my landlord?
Right.
Now? That's
where
the petty comes in.
It's like, you're my man or my roommate. Which one are you going to be? And I think that's just very subjective. So for me,
girl, come on. Let's get into it.
like, and this is just general relationships overall. If you're the man and this is your property and you own it, you should be paying for it because you are reaping the benefits from it. Like, I am here and I will take care of the household. But other than that, like, if you want to sell this property, I didn't pay half the rent for 3 years straight and you go get $50,000 in equity, I have the rights to none of that, you know? Yeah. But on another level, me, you know, I prefer for my man to
take care of it.
Yeah. Speaking about, it's a lot of women out here now that are buying homes, purchasing homes. If you purchase a home, like myself, I have a townhome, right? But hopefully when Mr. Wright comes along, he'll move me into a house that he purchases for us. How should I protect myself and what should I do with, like, my own property? Should I rent it out, Airbnb it? What should I, or just take the equity and run?
So when you own a property, you know you have options. Yeah. So you, let's look at the numbers. Let's say you have a property, you've had it for 3 years, you've gained $80,000 in equity. Is $80,000 more important than you than cash flowing $1,000 a month? You have to decide that for yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, moving in with him and how to protect yourself, he's already got the loan, he's already on the deed. What he would have to do is go back and amend the deed and add your name to the title so you both have ownerships, but you still have to establish something in writing that will hold up in court that if, you know, we are together, we're getting married, we're engaged, she now is on the deed, she has ownership to this property, but if we do break up, this is how we're gonna split everything once we do sell it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's take it a step further. So I'm all about generational wealth, okay? You know I'm a parent. How soon should we start buying properties for our children? That's making sure that we're passing this down, you know?
Okay, perfect. So you can pretty much add your child to the deed whenever. It depends on what state you're in. However, you have to think about it this way. If your child is not 18, they can't legally sign anything. So what you would have to do is appoint a guardian to them. So let's say, God forbid, something happened to you. You have all of these properties. What's your child's name?
Dimitri.
Okay, Dimitri. Dimitri got $3 million in property. His mama done put his name on. We gonna claim it. Let's just say something happens to mom, right? Dimitri owns all of these properties, but Dimitri's 5 years old. Okay. Who can guide him? He has to have a guardian to say, hey, look, you can sell this and get this, or you don't need to sell it. They just have to have someone that can guide him at the end of the day. So there's technically, it's not too soon to do anything, but you have to make sure whoever you appoint as a guardian is going to guide him in the right way, because they can literally say, hey, I'll
paperwork
take it.
Too, right?
Paperwork.
So I need paperwork that you're not going to take my son's stuff.
You have to have paperwork party. There you go. You have to have paperwork for everything.
Okay.
How do people really get started, though? Because I feel like when you compare real estate to stocks, I'm like, real estate all day. Let's get the property.
I don't know nothing about no stocks.
Like, but it sounds like it has the same benefits. But how, for folks who are like, man, I want a house, I see the house, I know I want that house in the block, but
what are the first steps?
Yeah, what do you do?
If you want to be a homeowner?
Yeah, so you know if you want to be a homeowner, I advise everyone, reach out to your local real estate agent, because just like you are an individual, you know nothing about real estate, you know nothing about the steps, how much you need to have saved up. You get online on Zillow, Trulia, Redfin, third-party sites, it'll say this is your monthly payment, and a lot of people think, okay, my monthly payment's $800, but is that just your principal and interest, or is that your taxes, your HOA, and everything included? Right. So in order to be able to be guided, find someone that can guide you. And I advise a professional real estate agent, because you don't know if there are any down payment assistance programs for you. You know what programs are available for you if you don't have a lot of funds saved up. But definitely save your funds. Don't get it twisted. Yeah. You have to have your money saved first and foremost. But reach out to someone that can say, hey, Brie, you know, if you want to purchase property on 123 Oak Street, you have to do these things. You have to have your money saved. We have to go to my preferred lender and see what you get qualified for. We have to look at your debt to income ratio. Your credit score, all of those things. Yes. The list goes on.
Doesn't include a man.
That ain't on the list.
That ain't on the list.
Well, Kira, so let's say you own a home, right? And this man that you're interested in also owns a home. Who moves in with whom?
That is a great question. And that is all by case-by-case scenario, too. Okay, so let's say...
Give me an example.
Let's say you and Joe own a home. Joe owns a little shack on Banana Street. I ain't saying he does, but just in case he does, because Brie don't own the mansion. So Brie owns this mansion, Joe owns this shack. If you know that y'all want to establish a family one day, you're going to probably outgrow his house a lot faster than you'll outgrow her house. So it all comes down to couples and what fits for you. So, for example, I have a friend. She just got engaged. They're expecting. He had a house. She had a house. He sold his house. He made about $100,000. She sold her house. Yes. She made $80,000. Mm-hmm. So they made $180,000 combined. Oh. They went and bought a bigger house that needed a little bit of renovations, but they put the down payment, put renovations in, bought furniture, and still had money left over.
Period.
That's what worked for them because with their growing family, they couldn't grow into either one of these properties. They had to find something else.
Yeah, right. I think you should buy a home.
Together.
Like a new home. Yeah. Together. Not moving each other. Yeah. So you just sell it and definitely start something new so it's yours and nobody's like, oh, well, this is my house.
Yes. And let's just say in that situation, if both of them wanted to rent theirs out, let's say his profited $800 a month, hers did $1,000. That's $1,800 monthly that could go to your mortgage on your new house.
To be honest, regardless of the mortgage payments, it sounds like we not shacking up until we get the legal paperwork together.
You gotta have the legal together.
Kira, thank you so much for stopping by. I'm gonna point my man out to this clip.
Right.
Now he knows we're not doing it unless we got the paperwork.
Okay, Kila.
Next up, the BG Bosses of the Week when we return.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is world famous, one of the greatest. Living legend, did I mention my resume is amazing? The game need a breath of fresh air and I'm breathtaking. Went diamond, guess I'm still a gold mine shining. This black excellence at its finest. Don't call me Brandy no more, call me your highness. Built tougher than my brother Ray J glasses. This is passion, he woke up a beast, now it's madness. See this
life. Welcome back to Black Girl Stuff. That was the vocal goat, Queen Brandy. She stays trending on our timeline for all the right reasons, including a new partnership with Motown Records.
Yes, and that's on the heels of being one of the greatest talents of her generation, becoming the first Black Cinderella, and breaking tons of barriers, which makes her a forever BG boss.
Yes,
we always stand for B-Rocka over here at all times. But Demetria, you've got this week, girl boss. Tell us about this queen.
Okay, you guys are gonna love her, okay? My BG boss is truly a trailblazer who is still paving the way. That's my girl, Nicole Lynn. Nicole is the first female agent to represent a top NFL agency. Just last year, she joined forces with Clutch Sports Group as their new president of football operations.
Okay,
that's
queen.
Huge. Nicole noticed there was a lack of female representation in the sports world, so she decided to do something about it. She has brought massive attention to women receiving unequal pay in sports, and she does everything within her power to not only represent them, but also uplift.
Yes.
Nicole Lynn, you are truly a BG boss. Way to go, girl.
Yes,
she is amazing.
I hear that.
Because one thing you mentioned, like, she's representing women and stepping up for unequal pay. And the only way that we can really make a difference in these organizations is to come in and infiltrate them.
Well, that's a male-dominated industry. Yeah. And I think what's even cool, just, you know, bringing it local, she actually represents a couple of our Atlanta Falcons as well.
Okay.
I mean, and what's really interesting, too, is 50 Cent actually announced a couple years back that he's developing a show based on her life. And you know it's got to be interesting.
You know, that's going to be really dope. Yeah. We're definitely going to be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
And that's all the show for now. Thanks for joining us tonight. Good night, everybody.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.